Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Free Palmer, 89.5 KVRF, presents Mushing Radio, hosted by Robert Forto. Mushing Radio is about dog-powered sports, living in the Great White North, and mushing. Visit our website at mushingradio.com. Here is your host, Robert Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, hosting from Willow, Alaska. And on the line, we have Nils Hahn calling in from Nome, Alaska, along with his wife, Deanna. We're going to talk tonight about a movement here in Alaska called Right to Mush. If any place in America where you should be allowed to mush, it should be Nome, Alaska. It's the official finish of the Iditarod, and lots of history with the sport of mushing there. So without further ado, Nils, how's it going? Nils, how's it going?
It's going good. Yeah, it's windy here, but we're doing good.
So tell us a little bit about, for folks that have never been to Nome, Alaska, set us up for us. Tell us about the terrain up there, people-to-dog ratio, that sort of thing. What's going on up there?
Well, it's a small town. We're off the road system, so you know, there's about 3,000 people up here, and I think 60% of them are Inupiaq Eskimo. And, you know, no road, no railroad or anything. We're off the road system. It's very rural, and it seems like, you know, you're really far out there, and there's no trees around. It's just tundra, the ocean, and mountains. It's a beautiful place. It's a harsh place, and it's home to dog mushing.
So I want to get to your bio here in just a second, but of course, folks that know about the Iditarod know, of course, of the finish there in Nome, but Nome has a rich history in terms of dog sledding dating back to the earliest days, doesn't it?
Yeah, it has a, you know, long history, and of course, the native cultures around here, they always have depended on dog teams, you know, just to get around and, you know, hunting, gathering, and getting firewood, and just, you know, that was how the North was conquered and how it was made livable. And then, of course, with the gold rush, you know, the same thing there. Everything was brought up by a dock team and mail carriers. And then the Salem Run, I think it was in 1926, that saved, you know, a bunch of, you know, people up here. And then, of course, the Iditarod with, you know, the All-Alaska sweepstakes before the Iditarod 100 years ago. And now with the Iditarod, it's a, you know, place full of mushing history.
So tell us about yourself, Nils. Who are you and what are you all about?
I've been running dogs for about 15 years. I'm from Germany originally. I came over to Alaska in order to, you know, fulfill a dream and run dogs and being in the wilderness and in a more quiet place than Germany, and I have a 9-year-old daughter and a wife that also runs dogs, and we bought some land outside of town, so we're 7 miles outside of the city limits of Nome at the base of a hill, you know, and overlooking the Iditarod Trail, so we can see about 10 miles of, you know, Iditarod Trail from our window, and we got 7 acres. It's very quiet, very rural. And we got a small team of about 30 dogs, and I've done the Iditarod 4 times and, you know, all kinds of other races around the state. I've done the Cusco 300 a few times and the 440, the Kobuk 440 and the Furandi, and mostly just the, you know, love for dogs and traveling with the dogs and having the dogs as part of the family and you know, traveling with the dogs around Nome and just, you know, being with the dogs and having an excuse to get out there.
Obviously, it is definitely a lifestyle for you, and that's what we're going to talk about today. If you will, hand the phone over to your wife, Deanna, and we'll talk to her for just a second, then we'll get into our topic tonight.
Okay, here she is. Just a moment.
Hello.
Hi, Deanna. This is Robert from Mushing Radio. I was talking to Nils about you know, the culture of mushing in Nome, and of course he introduced himself and told him what he was all about. I know you spoke to my wife over a year ago about what we're going to speak tonight, but I'm interested in finding out a little bit about you. Can you tell our listeners about you as well?
Sure. My name is Diana Hecker. I'm a reporter and journalist for the Nome Nugget newspaper here since 2003, and I'm married a musher. So I married a musher and his dogs. So eventually I got into dog mushing too, and it's just a family affair that is part of our life. And I've been running some races as well just to reap the benefits of the daily training, I guess. Give us a reason to get out there.
Let's get into this topic, and if you know, you guys can just hand the phone back and forth as we go. If you want to have Niels answer the question, just back and forth as we go. We'll keep it as fluid as we can with a call-in. So what is going on up there? This movement has spread a little bit, gained some momentum. I know that it was presented at our dog mushing club down here in Willow a month or two ago. One of the members of the club and a very influential musher, at least in these parts, Vern Halter, gave a talk about it, and of course some other mushing clubs throughout here in South Central also have been talking about this Right to Mush initiative or movement. What are you guys calling it, and what is it exactly?
Yeah, it's we call it the Right to Mush because that is basically what we try to assert here for Alaska. That a state that has been built basically on the sled dog and the transportation it provides. And it's a shame to see that tradition go down the drain because of a few individuals that make it really hard for dog mushers to stay in their sport or in their lifestyle for just really reasons that are hard for us to understand. So the background to our situation was that we bought land here in out of Nome city's limits, 7 miles, but basically in no one's land. And we've had a kennel here before in the same area. And we come back to Nome, bought this land, and establish a new house in a dockyard, and next thing you know, we're being sued by a neighbor for having dogs, and that kind of in itself was a hard thing to wrap your mind around, that in Nome, not even in Nome, but outside of Nome, Alaska, that you're being sued for having sled dogs. And that just, we dealt with the lawsuit back then, and we also had to deal with not only the lawsuit but the harassment that went hand in hand with it. And the harassment took forms of shooting, like shooting firearms, shooting mortar bombs, just setting off our dogs intentionally, blocking the trail, snow machining against the dog team, just basically harassing us at every step of the way, filming us every day of our lives. We hook up dogs, we're being put on film. And so after we dealt with the lawsuit, because all these harassments constituted a beautiful counterclaim, and we basically could decide the other party to drop the lawsuit, because we had a mighty fine counterclaim that would have really held up in court. So after this, which was a horrible experience, because the request from the other party was that we remove our dogs and stake them out in some gravel pit. And if you know the conditions in Nome, it's this. Right now we have blowing snow. It's really super cold. It's blowing like crazy. And our dog team is going into our barn tonight because it's cold. So we set up our whole operation to maximize the comfort to our dogs, and we have them under control and everything. So this guy now tries to tell us that we need to stake them into some gravel pit that we cannot get to because it's blowing snow, and, you know, to feed and to just observe what they're doing or to keep wildlife out of the kennel. That would be impossible. So on this background, we decided that if this happens to us, probably we're not the only ones out here, out in Alaska, that experience this kind of harassment. So we talked with other mushers. Of course, during Iditarod, I get to speak with everybody else, you know, as a reporter and also because I'm a musher. So I found out that from the very top, I mean the top mushers and everyone in between is experiencing some sort of harassment or hardship. And I said, okay, let's just divorce the issue from our personal experience with this guy, and we have to put up a stand to protect mushing in the state for the future, for my daughter, for my 9-year-old daughter, who's running dogs as well. And that is when we started to do some research on, oh, what have other states done to assert their right to do whatever they were known for, like Colorado, Wyoming, Montana. Those are the western states. Those are the horse states. Those are the farming states. There were people moving in there trying to form or transform that country into their how they wanted it. So guess what happened? In Colorado and Wyoming, they have come up with a Code of the West planning document that is probably in every county, in every state now of those states embraced to let people know that move into that country, hey, you know, this is what you can expect. You can expect farmers, you can expect horses, you can expect fences, you can expect, you know, people going about their Western lifestyle, and they have a right to farm bound into this Code of the West. So I said, yes, it's the Code of the North, and it's the right to mush. This is exactly the same thing that others have gone through before us. So we turned it into a right to mush movement, saying, okay, for the sake of future generations and for the sake of the present, to preserve mushing in the state I don't want to see eternity, but at least for what we can influence, for the time that we're here, let's just put our best foot forward and try to change something in a positive way that everybody who enjoys dog sledding can take advantage of. And this includes not only the dog mushers, this includes all the fans that come up here in March for Iditarod, and all of those who are glued to the internet, to all kinds of dog races, because they want to see still that romance of the North. How can you imagine Alaska without a sled dog or the howl of a dog team? Do we want to turn this nature of this land into something that it's not? So there's the birth moment of the right to mush, and we put this on Facebook. We came up with a resolution, and the resolution was passed by the Willow Dog Mushers, I believe, the Willow Community Association, the Pioneers of Alaska, the Alaska Federation of Natives passed that in their annual delegation meeting in October. It's before a few other clubs. I don't really know. The Nome Kennel Club passed it in an amended version. And who else? Oh, I think...
If I could jump in here, Deanna, for a quick moment, I have a question for you or Nils, whichever would like to answer it. So obviously you're going to get positive feedback from the mushers and the fans of mushing. What about just the lay folks, not the people that are causing a ruckus, but just the general public? What are they saying about this? Are they for it? Are they kind of on the fence about it? Are they against it? I'm talking about just the average Joe. What are they saying about it?
You know, I have not really talked to the average Joe about it. We're basically, our interfacing with the public is through the Facebook account, because I don't want to be a whiner. I don't want to be talking to everybody about how we get harassed on the trail. I wanted to bring it to the mushers, and then when I talk to I think I talked to the mayor about it one short moment here, and she couldn't believe that this was going on because, you know, Nome stands for two things, and that's mushing and that's mining. So
right.
if you say that a musher, I mean, one of your own, I did what mushers get sued for having a dog team. I mean, we're not even talking about unruly dogs, or we're not talking about dogs that have actually attacked a person or something. No, just for the mere fact of having a dog team and some unemployed person next door cannot sleep in until 10 o'clock in the morning every day. So I don't know. That's where we draw the line, I guess.
So down here in the Matsu Valley, of course, there's quite a few mushers, quite a few Iditarod kennels, pretty much a who's who, at least down in these parts, of folks that have completed and won several Iditarods. But we are bound by the regulations of the borough, the Matsu borough, about what we can do and what we can't do. You know, we have a kennel license, per se. Do other places here in Alaska have that? Do they have it in Nome? Do they have it possibly down on the Kenai, et cetera?
And I can only speak for Nome, and we, in the city limits proper, there's a requirement that you have your dogs a kennel license, and every dog gets a tag with a number, so just in case it turns gets loose, that they know whose dog it is. And there's a license, I think there's a fee that you pay per dog, like $3 per dog per year. And also they have to have rabies shots and distemper, you know, the five-way
right.
shots. That's what the city, and you have, if you marsh within city limits, you have to have a bell on your sled.
That's interesting
quirky
there.
That's the ordinance from, I guess, from the 1900s. But no, since we are outside of the city limits, there's basically no ordinances or there's no organized borough. And, we have we go by the pretty strict standards here for us that are self-imposed. We have a fenced-in dogyard. We have 30 dogs. We have a barn where they go in when it's getting dark and cold at night in the winter time or blizzardy. We have them close by to our house so that we know what's going on, that we, you know, have maximum control over them and not just staked out somewhere in a gravel pit.
If you could, Diana, turn the phone over to Nils, I have a question for him in particular.
Okay, hang on.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Nils Hahn is joining us tonight here on Mushing Radio. We're talking about the Right to Mush movement. They do have a Facebook page. Just search for Right to Mush on Facebook. Nils, we were talking with Diana about kind of the particulars and the regulations that you guys have up in Nome and what we have down here in the Matsu borough, and I'm sure it's similar in, on the Kenai and other places that are more populated than Nome. My question to you is, what kind of feedback are you getting from the big name kennels, you know, the Iditarod guys? What are they saying about this, and how are they being treated by folks, good and bad, you know, as they're performing their lifestyle, whether it be out on the trails or in the dog yard, et cetera?
Yeah, you know, throughout the years, I heard from a lot of, you know, bigger kennels, be it Iditarod kennels or sprint kennels, you know, that have problems with people, with neighbors, and it doesn't matter if they live in, you know, a more populated area like Chugiak or out in Willow or you know, like us here in Nome or, you know, even in the villages, you know, where mushing, I mean, geez, they don't, a lot of the villages don't even hardly have cars, you know, and people, you know, harass people with dog teams. And I think it's mostly... For us, you know, I think for a lot of people, it's people that move into the area and they buy, you know, land outside of town, outside of city limits because it's cheaper and it's, it gives them more freedom, you know, to do what they want to do and build how they want to do. And at the same time, you know, of course, that goes towards dog mushers too, or should. But, you know, with some individuals, it doesn't. And then they try, you know, to limit people's lifestyle, or maybe they're not happy with themselves, or bullies, or whatever it is. But you know, I think dog mushers are a pretty easy target, and you know, we're especially when we're traveling with a dog team with on a sled. You know, you can't really. I mean, it's a passive, you know, sport. It's not aggressive or anything, and we got to protect our dogs. And I don't know really what it is, you know, with people.
So you, Deanna had mentioned that it had gone up to a vote and passed at several places, including the Willow Dog Mushers Association, and here in our community, the Willow Area Community Organization, and of course you had said that it was put up to a vote in Nome. What do you guys hope to see out of this? Obviously, you want to present it to as many places in Alaska as possible, and of course, mushing is prevalent everywhere, whether it's populated or not. You know, they have mushing teams all over the place from every corner of Alaska. What is your guys' ultimate goal for this? We have about 8 minutes left. I'd like to present that if we can. Either one of you answer, whoever feels most comfortable. What is the ultimate goal besides saving the lifestyle? What do you want to tell people that are listening tonight?
Okay. Yeah, you know, I think you asked earlier about big names. And, of course, we only started this maybe, I don't know, 8 weeks ago or so.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, or 6 weeks, 4 weeks ago. And I don't really know how many people we have contacted, you know, actively, but it would be certainly really nice and helpful to get some big mushers on the line and you know, really support this and some big clubs, because our goal is to present this to the legislators and have it passed, you know, as, you know, to establish Alaska as a right to mush state. And basically what it does is, you know, it gives people a recommendation if they move to Alaska or to a rural area, that, you know, this is a fact of life and this is what they have to live with, and expect dogs and expect dog teams and traveling. And, you know, the thing is, probably 99.9% of the people do enjoy dogs. And you know, we see it when we travel with our dogs around here, you know, training. People, they almost run off the road when they see a dog team because, you know, in Nome there are not that many dog teams around anymore. And if they are, a lot of times you travel way out in the country where nobody ever sees you. But if they do see, you know, even longtime residents, they stop and they take pictures and they wave and they smile. And it makes people's day, you know, to see a bunch of dogs doing what they love to do. And you know, the musher taking them out for a run. And I want to preserve this for you know, for everybody, for Alaska, for the image of Alaska. And, you know, I mean, it's one thing, tourism and you know, people coming up for Iditarod. And, you know, of course, there is some money involved and business aspect and all of that. But, you know, just the culture of it and, you know, this, I mean, this is why I definitely came to Alaska. And this is a dream. And I would, you know, I would never think of getting on a snow machine and going out in the country, you know, it's not the same. And when I'm out with my dogs, you know, I'm out with my best friends. And they're right next to the house. The yard is, you know, 8 feet from our house, and this is what we live for. And every morning when I wake up, you know, I live for the dogs. And when we go to bed, right now we got two of our dogs in the house, and the same thing with our daughter, you know. She loves the dogs, and she goes out in the dog yard every day, and she plays with them. And you know, this is a shame that, you know, some people make it so hard for you know, a dog musher. It doesn't matter if it's a recreational musher with five dogs or, you know, Iditarod champion. It's a shame, and they should be ashamed of themselves. And unfortunately, I guess anybody can sue anybody for anything. So, and, you know, I mean, where we are, there are no covenants against dog mushing. It's not a borough. We're in Bush, Alaska. It's outside of the city limits of Nome, so there are no rules. And you know, people, I mean, if you, this is as rural as a place as you can find anywhere. You know, if, and so we were thinking, you know, if somebody can sue us outside of Nome, Alaska, it can happen anywhere. You know, it doesn't matter if it's Hoosley or Teller or you know, more populated area.
So, Niels, have you met any resistance from folks you've presented this to, any clubs, any organizations, any boroughs, cities, towns, et cetera? Have you met any resistance yet, or has everybody been positive?
Well, we haven't really taken it to, you know, some of the more populated areas ourselves, so we haven't felt any resistance as far as that. And, you know, everybody that we talk to, you know, of course, you know, we're up here in Nome, so everybody, most people that we associate with are you know, for the, they're local, they're from Nome, they've been here a long time, and to them, you know, they don't even understand what it's all about because, you know, they're thinking this is crazy that somebody could sue you for having a dog team, especially where we live, you know. And before we moved out here, we lived in town, you know, I lived in town in the town of Nome for about 7 years, and I had 50 dogs in the middle of town, and I never had a problem there. And you know, outside
of
town, it's even...
This movement, this way of life that you're trying to promote, it doesn't protect the bad apples of the sport, does it? The folks that are being negligent with their dogs, the folks that, you know, are not caring for them appropriately. This isn't intended to protect them, is it?
No, of course not. You know, and that's part of the resolution. If you go to the Facebook website, you know, it tells you, it states as long as you, you know, treat your dog in a certain way. And I'm, of course, you know, totally against, you know, any of that kind of treatment or, you know, not taking good care of your animals. It's totally, you know, not including those kind of people. And but, you know, if you look on the Facebook page, you know, it tells you about, you know, the right to mush and you know, what kind of people.
About 3 minutes left, guys, here on the show. You had mentioned presenting it to the legislature. Most people know that that government and any form moves very, very slowly. What is your guys' time plan for this? Are you trying to get it in the next legislative session? Are you just going to present it in the coming year? What's your plan for getting it in front of the government, the state government in general?
Oh, this is Diana. Denise has handed me the phone. I just got the last part of your question. So the plan is that with all the organizations that have passed this resolution, that we're going to take this to our state representative and state senator, and that's Representative Neil Foster and Senator Donnie Olson. And their staff are already informed that this is coming, and they will hopefully make this, you know, tweak the language, whatever they think is necessary to make it sound just right politically. And then, so we hope to take it there this week, actually, so it gets before they convene on January 15, I think. That is the deal.
That's what I had mentioned when you were passing the phone. I had said, what was the timeline to get it in front of the state government, you know, the legislative body, et cetera. So your plan is to do it this coming January. You're going to get it out there as quick as you can. And do you think...
Yeah, well, we've been sitting on that for a year, just mulling how to best present it and just to deal with the lawsuit first and get that over with. And then it came... you know, more and more clear that we're feeling strongly about it, and talking with other mushers, that it felt like somebody needs to take up the ball and run with it and take it to the legislature and have them make a stand. And I'm hoping that they will take it and maybe add some teeth to it, and so that there is some to discourage those frivolous lawsuits, or to discourage that sort of behavior that it's just harassing mushers on the trail, off the trail, in their daily routine of keeping their kennels.
We're just about out of time here. We want to make sure that we point people to your Facebook page. It's called Right to Mush, right?
Yeah.
So Right to Mush.
Yes, Right to Mush. And
sure
under, need to figure out where to, under the About button, if you click on About, that's where you learn a lot of who we are, because Facebook, you know, it's always suspicious to have somebody on Facebook and put anything up there. But this is for real people. This is for real mushers out there everywhere, and we even have friends all over the world from Scotland and Canada and Australia that go, wow, I can't believe you guys are going through this. And I guess we hit a kind of a nerve because a lot of people go through it. Takes a lot of courage to actually do something with it and to stand up. And so here it is. It's the Right of Mush movement. We got to make that stand. If we don't, then nobody else is going to do that for us. So
very nice. Niels Hahn and Deanna Heckler, right?
Hecker. Just like
Hecker.
The computer.
I'm sorry, Hecker. Deanna Hecker and Niels Hahn calling in from Nome. Right to Mush is the Facebook page. This is for real folks. They're going to present it to the legislator in the next coming session. Go out and check it out. Deanna, we do have an international audience here. People listen to this show all over the world. So hopefully we were able to tell your story and get your message out to as many mushing fans as possible. I'm sure a lot of folks in Alaska listen as well, and we'll keep you guys informed on if we hear any comments, questions, or concerns on our end. We'll pass them along, okay?
Please do so, yeah. Go and visit us and see that you get all the information to us that you can and support that Right to Mush movement.
Very nice. Well, thank you.
You
guys for joining us tonight. Hope you guys have a happy holiday, and we'll be in touch soon, okay?
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Happy trails.
Thank you very much. Niels Hahn and Deanna Hecker calling in tonight on Mushing Radio. Mushingradio.com is the place to find all of our archived episodes. Until next time, we'll see you guys later. Goodbye.